You're wearing your best, really nice white dress shirt. Maybe it's the only really nice white shirt that you have. And you're going to your grandmother's house for dinner. And you get there and you find out that she's serving spaghetti with meatballs and tomato sauce, really red tomato sauce. And knowing your predilection to dropping food on yourself while you're eating and the fact that your white shirt tends to act like a magnet for stains, you start eating a little bit cautiously. And inevitably it happens, a meatball falls off your fork, bounces off your plate, hits you in the stomach, drops to the floor. Have no fear though, you head for the restroom and you start working on that stain with cold water to get as much off as you can. And you get as much off as you can, and then you take out your trusty Tide pen, and you start working on that stain even more. And you've been in there for a few minutes, and your grandmother comes in to ask you if everything's okay, and you show her the progress that you've made on this stain, that yes, you've got some of it out, but you can still see it. It's faded, but it's still there. And she goes, oh, I've got something that'll take care of that. And she whips aside your Tide pen and opens up the medicine cabinet and pulls out this little vial of liquid, of red liquid. And you look at it and you say, Grandma, that's really red. That's dark red. And she says, oh, it's okay. It's the perfect cleanser. It's blood. Pretty ridiculous scenario, isn't it? Who would ever try to get a stain out using blood? Let's look at our text for today from Hebrews chapter 9. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Thus far the text. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, is blood the perfect cleanser? Well, if we're talking about animal blood, then we'd have to say no. Now, if that's the case, why were all of those animals sacrificed by God's people during the Old Testament times? And there were a lot of animals sacrificed through the centuries. Our text mentions goats and bulls, but there were lambs, there were doves. There were so many animals that were sacrificed over the centuries. Was God just bloodthirsty? Did he have a vendetta against these particular creatures that he had created? Well, obviously not. God required blood sacrifices because sin brings the punishment of death. Instead of God's people offering their own lives, instead of them shedding their own blood when they sinned, God allowed them to make a sacrifice of an animal instead. A few verses after our text, it tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, we're not able to relate completely to God's people in that I doubt any of us ever think about walking into church carrying a live animal because we're going to sacrifice it because we've sinned. But I would imagine that the gravity of making a blood sacrifice was pretty strong for God's Old Testament people. To see and to smell and to hear all the death that was seemingly constant in the temple, that had to have been a powerful experience. And think about standing as a member of the crowd when the priest was sprinkling the blood over the people on the great Day of Atonement. That would really make you take your sin seriously. And let's not forget what else our text mentions here. Not talking about blood, but something else. The ashes of a heifer. After this young female cow was sacrificed, she was burned up completely and her ashes collected. And they were used, these ashes were used to purify the tabernacle, but they were also used to cleanse someone who had been ceremonially defiled, such as by touching a dead person or a grave. And again, to have the ashes of an animal put on you had to have made you take your sin very seriously. I'm sure, though, that many of God's people got used to it. After offering so many sacrifices Perhaps they started to go through the motions to an extent, not really taking their sin very seriously. Sort of like we do when we shrug off our sin as if it's no big deal. We fill our minds with the death and the filth of this world, and we say, oh, it's okay. I can go to church. I can be forgiven of this. We commit the same sin day after day, maybe out of force of habit, without really thinking about the fact that that sin is dragging us down to hell. We think of going to church as more of a social event, as a time to get together with our friends, than we do as a time to go and be cleansed of our sin. Now, I'm definitely not calling for making a return to doing animal sacrifices in church. You see, even for God's people in Old Testament times, it really wasn't the shedding of animal blood that brought about their forgiveness. All of those blood sacrifices really were just foreshadowing that one sacrifice, that one great blood sacrifice that would indeed provide the forgiveness of all sins. Animal blood is not a perfect cleanser, but Jesus' blood is. Jesus' blood, the text says, purifies our conscience. It goes beyond the capability of any other blood to cleanse and purify, because it cleanses us where we need to be cleansed, on the inside. I want you to think about that for a moment. Where do your sins reside? Sure, our body takes part in many of our sins, but really it's our minds, it's our hearts that house our laundry list of sins. When we use our tongue to lash out at someone, it's our conscience that bothers us later. When we use our eyes to lust after someone who's not our spouse, it's our heart that aches with that betrayal. Much more than washing dirt off of our hands or washing a stain off of our shirt, we need to be washed. We need to be made clean on the inside. And it's in our baptisms that washing takes place. Peter writes in his first letter, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as a pledge of a good conscience before God. In those waters of baptism, you see, we are connected with Christ's death. We're connected with his shedding of blood. Paul writes in Romans 6, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? That death, Jesus' death, became our death in our baptisms. His shedding of blood became our shedding of blood when we were baptized. God requires death. He requires that blood be shed when sin occurs. And instead of shedding our blood for our mountain of sins, Jesus shed his blood instead. And so, yes, we are made clean. We are purified by Jesus' blood. What an incredible and perfect cleanser it is. So now what? Jesus' blood purifies our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Our sinful life of doing whatever we want to make ourselves happy, of serving our own interests, of making me the center of my universe, all of that just brings about death. They are dead works. And as a cleansed child of God, we've been set free from those dead works. We've been washed clean by Jesus' blood so that we are free to serve God, so that we can indeed love him and our neighbor, that we can serve him and our neighbor as much as possible. Keep washing in Jesus' blood. Amen.